Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf lamed. We are holding on daf chaf tes on the base. We're at the two dots. First word on the line is aval, about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. So two dots, first word on the line is aval. So we're still analyzing these brisos that discuss, and the Mishnah that discusses, if you find svarim, so what do you do with it? Are you allowed to read from the svarim? How frequently should you roll the svarim, or should you read from the svarim? And what way should you read from the svarim? So says the Gemara, avalo yilmod bo b'tchila, avalo yikra acharimo, that we had said that you're not supposed to learn something new from the svarim, because you may be very focused when you're learning something new, and you're going to have to keep it open for a long time, you're going to have to concentrate for a while, and that's not going to be beneficial for the sefer. And also, lo yikra acharimo, you shouldn't have someone else read with you, because he's going to be pulling one way, you're going to be pulling the other way, and the sefer is in danger of ripping. So, frakta gemara uraminhu, but we have a stira lo yikra parsha vishnav lo yikra bo parsha vitargim, that you shouldn't read a parsha twice, you shouldn't read a parsha bimitargim it vol yiftach bo yosem ibi gimel dapin, and you shouldn't open up more than gimel dapin worth of the sefer, you shouldn't open it up very widely, vlo yikru bo shlosha bnei adam mikrach echad, and you shouldn't have three people reading it at one time. So, frak the Gemara, hashnayim korin. But it sounds like it's only a problem if you have three people reading at the same time. Two people reading at the same time does not sound like it's a problem. Yet our Mishnah said that you're not allowed to even have two people reading at the same time. The Yikra acherimo means two people is a problem. Sam Rabbi lo kasha, kan b'inyan echad, kan b'shnei inyanim. It depends if you're reading two inyanim or one inyan. If you're reading from the same parsha, so then that's a problem, because you're going to be fighting over who gets a better angle at the parsha. You're going to be pulling this direction or the other, and the sefer is in danger of ripping. So that even two people would be a problem. But b'shnei inyanim, where one guy is reading from one column, someone else is reading something else, they're not going to pull it from each other, because they're each reading from a different section of the Torah. That's how Rashi understands it. And that goes Hagra Os Aleph on the side of the page. He says that the Rush agrees with Rashi, but the Rambam is Mefarish Lahapich. The Rambam says that the exact opposite is true. That when we're reading from the same Inyan, so we're more focused on the same thing, we're not pulling anywhere, because we're both looking at the same thing. When we're looking at two different Inyanim, so I want it more towards my Inyan, you want it more towards your Inyan, we're just going to try to get it rolled more in more toward the direction of what we're interested in reading, and that's where it's more in danger of ripping. Okay, so it's a Machlokas Rishonim. Matzah ksus minara echad l'shloshim yom. Fine clothing, you have to shake it out once every 30 days. So, frakling mar lemeimra denir malila. Does that mean shaking out clothing is good for the clothing? V'amar b'yochan mishi yeshal gad yuman b'toch b'esa yinar ksusu b'kol yom. Didn't we learn that unless you have a professional weaver living in your house, you shouldn't shake out your clothing every day? Meaning the implication being, of course, that when you shake out your clothing every day, you're very likely to destroy it, and it's going to constantly need repairs, and therefore you shouldn't do it. So, amri b'kol yom kashila echad l'shloshim malila. You shouldn't do it every day, but once every 30 days it needs to get aired out a little bit, so once every 30 days it's a good thing for the clothing. To shake it out every day is bad for the clothing. Ibai same alokasha, or another possibility is habichad v'habitrei. Depends if you have just one person grabbing one end of the clothing and shaking it, or if you have two people each holding on to an end, shaking it together. If two people are shaking it together, it's much more likely to rip, because they're each going to be pulling in different directions. Iba yisei melokasha habiyada habichutra. Or it could be that if you're shaking it out by hand, it's not a problem, but if you're beating it with a stick to shake out the dirt from the clothing, then it's likely going to get damaged. Iba yisei melokasha habida amra habida kisna. That it depends if it's made of wool or linen. That if it's made of wool, so that's not good, because it will get pulled and rip. That's how Rashi understands that Amra is where it's a problem. Predictably, though, the Gra points out that the Rambam and a lot of other poskim and the Rif all say the opposite is true, that by Amra, by wool is much more sturdy, and wool is not going to get ruined by shaking it out, but the kisna, the flax, is going to get ruined by shaking it out. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, kasa de charshin v'lo kasa de poshrin. So Rabbi Yochanan starts giving advice in terms of what's a healthy way of living. So he says, better to drink a kasa de charshin, a kos of kishuv, rather than drink a kos, a cup of lukewarm water. Apparently lukewarm water is very unhealthy, and Rabbi Yochanan expressed this by saying you'd rather have a kos full of kishuv than a kosa of lukewarm water. Velo amron ela b'kli matchas, av b'kli cheres less than bad. This is only a problem. Drinking lukewarm water is only a problem if you're drinking from a metal kli. But if you're drinking from a earthenware kli, it's no problem. O b'kli matchas nami lo amron ela delotzavitz. And it's also only a problem with the metal kli if it was never boiled. Avol detzavitz less than bad. But if it's been boiled, then it's no problem. You've got all the bacteria out of it if it's been boiled. Velo amron Elda lo shadi beit sivaya. It's also only a problem if you didn't put any tea leaves or anything into it. It's just plain water. You didn't put any flavoring into it. Avol shadu bat sivaya, less than ba. But if you put something into the drink, Rashi says asavim or tavlin or besamim, right? Some type of tea, some type of or coffee, something to flavor it a little bit to make it a different drink. Then it's not going to be a problem. Once we're discussing advice from Rabbi Yochanan, so the Gemara continues. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, mishi niachlo aviv ma'os harbe verotzel abdan. If someone was left a lot of money by his father, he yarshined a lot of money and he wants to lose it all. So a good way to lose money quickly is yilbash bigde pishtan. He should wear begadim made out of pishtan, which apparently are expensive and are easily damaged. Vishtamish b'klei zuchuchis. Let him use glass kelim, which again are expensive, easily damaged, and you can't repair them when they are damaged. V'yiskar paul l'valyeshevimani, and you should hire workers and then not oversee them as they're doing their work. Let them just do their own thing. So that's a good way to lose all your money. So first of all, right off the bat, it's a little bit strange. If you want to tell me a good way to lose all my money, right? If it's a cute way of expressing what's considered wasteful behavior, why express it as mishe niachlo aviv ma'os harbe? Why not mishe yeshlo ma'os harbe and rotzala abdan? What does that have to do with a guy's father leaving him a lot of money? So it could be pashtus is that someone who yeshlo ma'os harbe earned it on his own is much less likely to be wasteful with his money than someone who's niachlo aviv ma'os harbe, who's easy come, easy go, and has a certain sense of entitlement, is much more likely to get rid of the money. But also, it sounds somewhat sarcastic. You want to get rid of all your money, you want to lose all your money, this is what you do. So there actually is another girsa, the Ritva quotes, that it's b'sheiniach lo aviv ma'os shel ribis. It's not ma'os harbe, it's ma'os shel ribis. Meaning your father left you a lot of money and you know that the father earned that money in illegal ways. He earned the money through charging ribbis. And that's why you really want to be ma'abed that money. You don't want to have anything to do with the money. So if you have such a gear, so at least understand it's not being sarcastic. It's actually telling you you want to get rid of the money. Now the Ritva says, I have an idea. Why don't you just go return it to the people who you charged the ribbis from? Wouldn't that be the better thing to do? So he says, yeah, that's certainly better. But Rabbi Yochanan comes to teach that a person should not, Derech Agav, he comes to teach that you shouldn't do one of these three things, because in general this is wasteful behavior. So true, obviously if you can find the people who your father charged the ribbis to, you should return it to them. But either way, a person may have an aversion to getting any hanah from ribbis, even if he can't find the people who was charged to. So Derech Agav, Rabbi Yochanan also teaches me what's considered wasteful behavior and unnecessary spending. So the Gemara is going to expound briefly on each one. So Yilvash Bigdei B'Kli Pishtan, B'Kasna Rumisa. What's Kli Pishtan? Which type of Kli Pishtan is very wasteful? So the Kasna Rumisa, it's a type of silk which is very expensive and is very easily damaged, gets ruined very quickly. V'Yishtamish B'Kli Zuchuchis, B'Zugisa Chivarta, with white glass. White glass in particular is very fragile and is very expensive and obviously cannot be repaired. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we no longer have white glass. What are we talking about? If you want to waste your money, use white glass. It's not even an option for us anymore to use white glass. So it says, when we say something has been batel after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was completely batel. It just means it's not so commonly found. The famous Gemara Maseches Brachos, which tells us that there was a simcha, there was a wedding, and things were getting out of control in terms of the simcha that was being expressed. Rav Huna felt that it was not appropriate after the Churban HaBayis to express simcha in such outlandish ways. So he took what? Zechuchas Levana. He took this white crystal, this white glass, and he shattered it in order just to bring down the simcha a notch, in order that people should just not get so carried away with the simcha. And many of the Achronim point out that that's the source of our custom to break glass under the chuppah. Right? There's Rabbeinu Bechai that says the breaking glass under the chuppah is symbolic of the Shviras Haluchos, of the breaking of the luchos. But Pashtus is, like the Gemara in Brachos, I think Tosus actually says it over there, that our minhag of breaking glass under the chuppah is a way of bringing down the level of simcha, that we shouldn't be so out of control after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which obviously there are nafkaminas la'alacha. If that's the case, then first of all, it seems somewhat inappropriate that as soon as the glass is broken, everyone screams, Mazel Tov! I mean, you could argue that, no, the glass is broken, and now we can celebrate with that, with the proper frame of mind, and therefore as soon as the glass is broken, we're ready to go forward with the celebration, and it's okay to sing Mazel Tov. But many people have the minhag that they'll break the glass in the middle of singing a Meshkachech, or something like that, as opposed to afterwards, so that it's done with the proper Kovad Rosh. The only problem is then the whole crowd gets confused. They're still waiting for the... So when I was Masada Kiddushin, I told the Chassan, break the glass during a Meshkachech, and no one will notice. And then after a Meshkachech, just stomp on the ground, and then everyone will scream Mazel Tov, and you know, just to get it going, because otherwise you're going to confuse everybody when the Chassan wanted to dafka break it during a Meshkachech. It's a question whether there are many people that don't sing a Meshkachech, but that's sourced in very early Achronim, that there's a sourced in the Gemara, really, that... That we learn from Efer Maklal Rosh Chassanim, from the pasuk of Imeshkachech, so it seems to make sense that when you put the ashes on the Chassan's head at the chuppah to remind ourselves of Yerushalayim, that's part of the whole idea. The other nafkamina lahalacha is a lot of the photographers, they don't like to have to do multiple takes of a Chassan failing to break the glass and then trying again and again, so they'll put a light bulb in the thing instead of a glass, and just have them crush a light bulb, because light bulbs crush very easily. Problem with that is, it's really supposed to be something that has some value. The light bulb is worth almost nothing. So, meaning if it's really about bringing down the level of simcha, it should be something that has some value. The light bulb is probably not the best thing to use in that case. Okay, anyway, moving along. Says the Gemara, V'yiskar polim val yeshiv v'mahen. Again, if you want to practice wasteful behavior, so a person should hire workers and not sit with them. Targuma b'turi d'nafish p'sedayhu. So we're dealing with workers who work with your oxen, where they're likely to really just do nothing all day. And the Tosus says not just do nothing, they're going to not dig deep enough when they plow the fields. They're not going to make the plow go deep enough, the three tefachim necessary, in order for the seeds to really take. So the seeds aren't going to take properly, and it's really just going to ruin your field. It's going to be very wasteful. Rashi has a slightly different understanding. Whatever it is, though, if you don't oversee your workers properly, it's going to be very wasteful. So then we said in the Mishnah that if you find a beged, you can spread it out for the sake of the beged, if it needs to be aired out, but not for your own kavod. If it's a very expensive beged, you find an Armani suit, so you shouldn't just hang it up, you know, spread it out when company comes, so that everyone could see that you can afford an expensive suit. So yibayiluhu litzarcho ulitzarcha mai. What if it's not only for your own benefit, but it's for your benefit and for its benefit? Would that be any better? Meaning, if you're doing it for look, it needs to be spread out today anyway. I happen to be having company today, so what do I lose? Why not just do it today? So is that okay? Meaning, is it a din that you're only allowed to do it litzarcho, but when it's not litzarcho, you're not allowed to do it? Or is the emphasis more that when litzarcho rather, or is the emphasis more that when it's for your tzarech, it's absolutely aser? I don't care if it's for the tzarech of the beged also. So Frektosos, wait a second. Didn't the Mishnah itself say that you're allowed to read from Svarim? That you have to air out the Svarim, so once every, you know, so often, you have to air out the Svarim and roll them, and while you're doing it, you're allowed to read from it. Isn't that exactly a case of Litzarcho, Litzarcha? So says Tosos, Dafka b'shituach ksus mi bayle. The whole shaila here is clearly about clothing. V'kol d'damile, d'shema yani chenashtucha yoser mikitei tzarcha ad sheyiskalkel. Because what if your company stays a little bit longer? Are you really going to put it away just on time, just as soon as it has enough air for the sake of the beged? You're really going to put it away right away? No, there's a legitimate concern that if we allow you to do it both litzarcho ulitzarcha, that you may leave it out long enough to enhance your own kavod, where it's no longer beneficial for the beged itself. Aval b'sefer amrina dekari behen aval gavdil tzarchahu. But by the sefer, you're allowed to read from it, kemot tzarcha, even though it's just as beneficial for you as it is for the sefer. Why? V'lo gazrinan. There's no gzeira over there. Delek alamechash lamidi, because nothing's going to happen. There's no concern that you're going to do anything, that you're going to leave it out extra. Why? Why are we not concerned? Since there are very specific rules about how frequently you're allowed to open up the sefer. When it comes to the beged, so it's more fluid. We're not so clear with the rules. It's much more vague. We're just, you know, as much as it needs. So you're likely to mess around with those rules and try to keep it as much as you want it out in order to enhance your own kavod. So there's reason to make a gzeira that even litzarcha might be problematic. And that's why the Gemara asks the shayla by the beged. But by the sefer, it's never going to come to any problem. Because by the sefer, there are very specific rules about how frequently you're allowed to open it up. Uklei nechoshes t'taniel kamand mishtamish afilu b'chamin uklei kesef pitzonin afilu tzorchau mutter kivin shalidei osu tashma shein yachal avalidei kilkul. And when it comes to klei kesef uklei nechoshes, we allow you to use it even l'tzorchau. That's because it's not going to get ruined by using it in the ways that we allow. So by those types of kelim, it's permissible because there's no chance it's going to get ruined. The Ran is miyashiv Tosa's question in a slightly different way. He says, when it comes to Svarim, using the Svarim is a mitzvah. And remember, we said yesterday that although you can't rely on the Svara that Nichle Le'inish Lav and Mitzvah B'mone, that a person is always happy to do mitzvahs with his money, to use it constantly, but at least that's enough of a Svara. I mean, we don't totally throw out that Svara. Nichle Le'inish Lav and Mitzvah B'mone is still a Svara that we use La'alacha, as we mentioned yesterday in the Gemara and Pesachim, as a Maskana we use that Svara. So we're still going to use the Svara enough to say that the Bailim is probably okay with you using the Sefer L'tzarcho U L'tzarcho. Maybe it's not enough for him to be okay with you using it L'tzarcho for your own benefit, but to use it L'tzarcho U L'tzarcho, the fact that there's a mitzvah involved and you know, at least he has that enjoyment from it that you're doing the mitzvah, so maybe that would be enough. But when it comes to the beged, there's no such svara. There's no by a ksus. There's no reason to say that the bailum would be okay with using it litzarcho for your own benefit. Okay. Anyway, that's the issue Tos deals with. But either way, we have a shayla over here. Can you use it both litzarcho u litzarcho? So the Gemara is going to bring a couple of rayas. Tashma shodcho litzarcho in hol litzarcho lo. The Mishnah says you're allowed to do it for you're allowed to spread it out for its own benefit. Sounds like if it's for your benefit too, then it's problematic. Ema seifa, but then you read weiter, it says avalo l'kvodo. You can't do it for your own benefit. L'kvodo hu delo hol tzarcho l'tzarcho shapir dami. Sounds like if it's exclusively for your own benefit, it's a problem, but if it's both for your benefit and for the beggar's benefit, it's fine. Selam ehelak l'mashmina. So we have no raya from there whatsoever. Tashma, second raya. Lo yishadchena lo al gabe mitav lo al gabe magud l'tzarcho. Av yishadchena al gabe mitav al gabe magud l'tzarcho. You're not allowed to do it for your own benefit, but you can for the benefit of the item. Nizdamnu lo orchim lo yishtachen lo al gabi mitav lo al gabi magad bein litzorcha bein litzorcha. If you have guests and you want to show off to your guests, even if it's beneficial for the clothing, still you're not allowed to spread it out when guests are coming. So don't you see? That's a case of litzorcha u litzorcha. You have guests, so it's beneficial for you. And the case happens to be that it's beneficial for the clothing, and we see it's aser. And it says Gemara, shiny hasam demikla kalila. No, when you spread it out for a major amount of guests that are coming, that's like burning it. That's like destroying it. Why? Imishum einai, imishum ganvi. Either because of ayin hara, people are going to look, and it's not good to show off, to flaunt expensive things, because that causes ayin hara. Right, that's what a number of Rabbanim, contemporary Rabbanim have said, that you know, people are so makbid to have the right to bendels and all these other segulas to ward off ayin hara. There's a much simpler way to ward off ayin hara. Just live simply without not living outlandishly, and there's not going to be a problem of ayin hara, especially since there's it's very hard to find a really good source for all the other segulas to ward off the ayin hara. So anyway, so you have to worry about the ayin hara problem, imishum ganvi, or because you have to worry that, look, if people are going to see you have expensive things in your home, so you don't know everyone who walks through your home. You never know who knows somebody or who saw something or who maybe has the Yetzer Hara to steal. So you have to be careful. It's going to make it vulnerable to theft. Tashma, third raya. Hichnisa l'ravka v'dasha k'sheira. You bring it l'ravka and it goes and it threshes, so it's going to be kosher. I mean, you weren't trying to use the animal. Now, this case is not talking about an aved anymore. Now we're talking about, Rashi says, an egla arufa, right? That you connect three or four animals together and they're threshing. So you take this egla and put it in the group, even though you don't intend to have it thresh, but then it does the threshing. Now, an egla arufa that does work is no longer going to be kosher to use as an egla arufa. If it worked, it's pasul. So the question is, what's going to be defined as work? So we're going to try to bring a raya from here that if it's letzarcha, we're going to try to see whether that's considered work or not. So b'shvil shetinok v'tidosh psula. Now, if you did it in order that the egla should nurse and do the disha, so then it's going to be pasul. V'ahacha de letzarcha letzarcha hu v'ktani psula. But isn't that a case of letzarcha uletzarcha? It needs to nurse, but also you wanted it to thresh, so you wanted to do both, and still it's going to be pasul. So says Gemara, no, shiny hasam damakra shalo uba, but mikal makom. It says that you can't do work with it in any case. So it's always going to be possible if it did any sort of work. It doesn't matter. That's a special gzeres hakas of dafka by aglarufa. Should be aware the Ramban's sheet is that this whole Gemara is really about para aduma. It's not about aglarufa, even though it's quoting psukim that are clearly by aglarufa. Ihach yafila resha nami. So if that's the case, if any sort of work will automatically possible it, so why in the original case when we said echnisa l'ravka v'dasha, is that okay? Says Gemara, no, halodamia alulaha. That's similar to the following. Titnan shachin ala of ksheira. If a bird lands on the cow's back, it's still going to be kosher. Now that's talking about para aduma for sure. If a bird lands on the para aduma's back, it's still going to be kosher. It's not called that the para aduma carried a burden because a bird happened to land on its back for a minute. Alala zachar psula. If a male mounted the cow, then it's going to be possible. My time, kedrav papa, damrav papa, iksiv oved v'karin and oved avamina filu memela. Had it said uvad rather, and it would be read uvad, so then I would say it doesn't matter how the work happened. If there was anything on its back, it's going to be puzzle. Viksiv avad v'karin and avad havmina adavad ba ihu. Had the kri and ksiv both been avad, meaning you actively worked it, I would say it's only going to be possible if you actively worked it. Hashad ksiv avad v'karinan uvad, but since it says avad, and the way we read it is ubad, asher lo ubad ba, right? So be'inan uvad dum yada avad. The only time it's going to be possible is if the work that happened is similar to avad. Ma avad denichalei, af ubad denichalei, meaning it doesn't have to be that you worked it, but it has to be the type of work at least that you would have approved of, that you would have been happy with. So if it's a work that you would have been happy with, like the zachar mounting it, so that would be a problem. But if it's work that you would not have approved of, like, or you don't care about, you have no reason to be interested in, like a bird landing on its back, so that's not going to be considered work, and then it's going to be fine. Now, very important tosos over here. Frek tosos, vim tomar ala ala zachar amai psula, havadil o nichalei lahafsil parasha demei yakar mishul davar muat. We said when a zachar mounts it, so we say that's okay, that we assume is nichalei, you're happy about, and therefore it's considered a real work, and it's going to passel it from para aduma. But let me ask you something, Tosa says. You have a para aduma. How frequent, how commonly does that occur? It's so valuable, right? The Gemara's in Kiddushin, the Kibra Ve'im Sugya. Para aduma is so valuable, and now you know that if an animal, if a male mounts, if a male mates with this female, it's going to ruin it from being a para aduma. Is it really nichalei for the male to get together with this female? The Bailam's really okay with that. The Bible is not okay with that. Why would he want to sacrifice a paraduma for that? Why would he want to lose out on a paraduma? So says Tosfos, is a major yesod. V'yeshlomer dim haisak sheira havenichalei v'lchein ein lahachshil ein lahachshir. No, when we evaluate nichalei versus lo nichalei, we don't evaluate based on the fact that I know this is going to possibly my paraduma. We evaluate, is it the type of work you're generally happy about happening to your cows? Keeping out of mind what it's going to do to your paraduma. And the way some of the acronym explain it is, think about it for a second. Let's say that you're going to label this lo nichalei, because I don't want to sacrifice my paraduma, I don't want to lose my paraduma. So you're going to label it lo nichalei. So now what? It's considered that there wasn't any avodah done with it. Memela, you can use it for paraduma again. But wait a second, if I can use it for Par Adum again, because there's a... So then, it was Nichalei again. Then I'm happy that the animal, and it's circular logic, will keep going. So you have to take out of the equation that it's a potential Par Aduma and evaluate objectively. Am I happy in general when I have my cow and a male mates with this cow or not? So generally I would be happy. We don't take the fact that it's a Par Aduma into account by evaluating Nichalei, Lo Nichalei. Why do I say it's so important? It doesn't sound so important. How commonly does this come up? Hilcha Shabbos. We have to often evaluate whether you have something that's a psik resha de nichalei or psik resha de lo nichalei. Frek Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach in his Milcha Shlomo. I left a light on in my fridge on Shabbos. Now I know if I open up that fridge, the light's going to turn on, it's going to be a psik resha. And everyone's going to tell me it's a psik resha de nichalei because you want more light in the fridge. Well, you know what? I don't want to be Michal Shabbos. I really would have preferred to remember to turn off the light in the fridge. So isn't that a psik resha de lo nichalei? Rosh Hashanah says, no, you can't call that a psik resha de lo nichalei, because again, it's the same circular logic. You can say it's a psik resha de lo nichalei, oh, so then I might as well have the light on. Once it's mutter, it's psik resha de lo nichalei, assuming it's mutter, then I'd rather have the light on. So then it becomes nichalei again, and it keeps, right, keeps going in circles, it's circular logic. So you have to evaluate nichalei, lo nichalei, absent Hilcha Shabbos, meaning forgetting about if I'm going to violate Hilcha Shabbos or not when I open up the fridge, is it something that objectively would be Nichalei or not? So maybe if you close your eyes, you don't look, maybe that would be Lo Nichalei. But if you're looking, and you know, you're looking for something in the fridge, so usually it's Nichalei. It's not a Psak Halacha. You can't necessarily close your eyes and open up the fridge. Klei Kesef and Klei Nechoshes Mishamish Ben. The Mishnah said that if you have Klei Kesef and Klei Nechoshes, you can use it. So Tan Rabbanan Amotzei Kli Eitz Mishamish Ben B'Shvil Shelo Yirkavu. If you find wooden kelim, you can use it so it doesn't rot out. Klei Nechoshes Mishamish Ben B'Chamin Av Loli De'or M'Meshem Ashchikan. Klei Nechoshes you can use with hot water, but not directly with fire, because it's going to destroy it. Silver, you can use with cold, but not with hot, because it's going to blacken it. But shovels and these types of instruments, you can use on soft things, but not on hard things, because it will dull them when you use them on hard things. And gold and glass kelim, you shouldn't touch until Eliyahu Navi comes, because they don't need to be used in order to be kept in good shape. And just like we say this by an aveda, we say the same thing by a pikadon. So, frankly, Gemara, pikadon, my avidde gabe. What are you using a pikadon for? If the bailam wants to come back and take it, let him come back and take it, and he'll use it. Why are you using a pikadon? Why is the shomer using it? So, No, it's a pikadon that the bailam went to the Medina Siam, and therefore, if you're a shomer chinam, shomer sachar, you can assume that the bailam doesn't want the pikadon to get ruined. It needs to get used every once in a while, right? A car that sits there for years and years, it's not good. It needs to be driven once in a while to stay in shape. So you could assume that the Bailam wants you to do that, to take care of it, whatever needs to keep it in good shape. Matzah sako kupa v'kaldavar shein darko litol, hareza lo yitol. If you find a sack or a kupa, anything that's embarrassing for you to walk around with, so then you don't have to go and pick it up, because it's embarrassing for you to walk around carrying such items. So minanimili, how do I know this? The Tanur Rabban writes the darshan to pasuk visalamta. Pasuk says visalamta. When we darshan, even though, what does the pasuk really say? It says lo sira es sharachicha o es seyon nidachim visalamta mehem. You should not see someone else's animal and hide your face from it. It's not telling you visalamta that you should hide your face from it, but sometimes that's the style of drush that the Gemara has to darshan a pasuk, is we put the comma or a period in the wrong place, and we view phrases within a pasuk as if they're independent phrases, and we ignore the broader context of the pasuk. So we're ignoring the lo at the beginning of the pasuk, and we're saying, look, it says v'salamta. So it must be the Torah is indicating to us that the lo is so many words away from the v'hisalamta. So it must be that the Torah is indicating to us that there are some cases where you're supposed to be misalim. You're supposed to see an aveda and ignore it, where it's okay to be misalim. Pam shata misalim, pam shiata misalim. Sometimes you can ignore it, sometimes you can't ignore it. Hakeitzad, what's the case? So haya kohen vihi bebeis hakvaros. If you're a kohen and the aveda's in the beis hakvaros, oshayu zaken venil fi kvodo, or you're a zaken and it's disrespectful for you to walk around carrying that object in public, oshayu malacha shalom merubah mishal chavero, or you happen to have more valuable things to do. Meaning the object that you could save is worth $10. You get paid $1,000 an hour, and it's going to cost you, and it's going to take you an hour to do it. So your work is much more valuable. In those cases, we say you're allowed to be misalim. You don't have to go and do Ashavas Aveda. So frankly, Gemara, still, why do I need a pasuk to teach me any of those cases? What do I need the pasuk for visalamta? If you want to tell me, well, I need the pasuk to teach me that if I'm a kohen and the object is in the Beis HaKvaros, that I don't have to go into the Beis HaKvaros, I'm not supposed to go into the Beis HaKvaros and take it. So it says more pshita. Of course I'm not supposed to do that. Hay asei, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aved is a mitzvah asei, v'hay los asei v'asei. And the isser of Tumas Kohanim is a los asei v'asei. And the mitzvah saseh cannot come and push off a lo saseh ve'aseh. So of course I'm not allowed to do the Hashavas Aveda if I'm a Kohen. And even besides for that, you're talking about an Isser of Tumas Kohanim for what? To save someone a couple of bucks? We're not going to sacrifice Isurim for the sake of money. How much is an Isser worth? How much money is an Isser worth? There's no amount of money in the world that an Isser is worth. Right, there's no. You have to sacrifice all your money in order to not violate an isur. That's the halacha l'maisa. You can't violate an isur. You don't have to sacrifice your life to avoid violating an isur unless it's one of the big three. But money, you have to sacrifice all your money for an isur. For mitzvah saseh, you don't have to sacrifice all your money, but for an isur, certainly you do. So a couple of very important points on these questions over here. First of all, hay asei, the Gemara says, well, Hashavas Aveda is only a mitzvah saseh. Tumas Kohanim is an asei and a lo saseh. We already discussed, Hashavas Aveda is not only a mitzvah sasei, it's also a mitzvah lo sasei, lo sucha lisalim, that you're not allowed to go and hide your face from it. That's a lo sasei as well. So says Rashi, Hashav Teshivim is the asei, v'yafagav to lo sasei nami ika, ein lo sasei mo luchos lo sasei. Even though you're right, Hashavas Aveda is also a lo sasei, but the point is still the same. Because a lo sasei vasei is not docha another lo sasei vasei either. The only time any mitzvah is docha another is when it's a mitzvah sasei. An asei is docha a lo sasei. So having a lo sasei joined with the asei doesn't help it. The lo sasei is never docha anything anyway. So in terms of what we're looking at, it only matters that Hashavas Aveda is an asei. It doesn't really matter that Hashavas Aveda is a lo sasei. Now the other issue though is that when do you violate the mitzvah? When is there a mitzvah saseh of Hashavas Aveda, and when is the lo saseh of Hashavas Aveda? So we already had in the Gemara before that the mitzvah saseh of Hashavas Aveda only begins once I actually pick it up. The mitzvah lo saseh, lo sucha l'salim, is before I pick it up. So if I'm a Kohen and the Aveda is in a Beis HaKvaros and I'm deciding whether I should go in and pick it up or not, so really it's an asei that we're talking about? It's not an asei, then it's l'chora only a lo saseh. Because I haven't yet picked it up. The assay of Hashav, of returning it, is only once I've already picked it up. Before I've picked it up, it's only a los assay of losucha l'salim. So Ramban asked that kasha. Ramban says, you have to say that we're talking, that it's a case where you picked up the Aved al Manas Lachzira, you already picked it up. You already picked up the Aved al Manas Lachzira before the Bailam was Miyayish, and then you changed your mind before the Bailam was Miyayish and you decided not to return it. Right, all the Hechitimtas we had before where you violate Asay and Losay. In that case, you're already Mitame yourself. It's a very, very difficult problem. Right, exactly how the Gemara figures that when you're going outside of the Beis HaKvaros, you're still only in violation of the Asay, and not the los asay, not the los asay. Meaning, or even if it is the los asay, how you could have already been in violation of the asay if you haven't yet picked it up. The other kasha that the Ramban asks over here is that even if it is an asay and a los asay, the klal is that an asay is docha los asay only when, meaning, let's say Tumas Kohanim were only a los asay. Right, so then it sounds like the Gemara would be saying, well, Hashavas Aveda is an asay, it should be docha a los asay. Right, it happens to be Tumas Kohanim, happens to be los asei vasei, so it's not nidcha. But if it were just a los asei, it would be nidcha. Frak to Ramban, when do we say that an asei is docha los asei? Only when it's be'idna. When at the moment you're doing the asei, you're violating the los asei. You can't violate a los asei so that you can later do a mitzvah asei. I'll violate an isser now because that will enable me later to do a mitzvah asei. That's called mitzvah babavera. That's a problem. Right, I can't steal so that I can later give tzedakah. That's a mitzvah babaveira. Only when it's coming at the same time, you're going to say, asei is docha los asei. What's the case over here? When do I get the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? When I actually return it to the owner. When do I violate the Yisrof Tumas Kohanim? As soon as I step into that Beis HaKvaros to pick it up, I violated Tumas Kohanim. So it's not even noget with all Parsha Vasei Delcholos Asei. The Isser comes before the Mitzvah. So that's the other major Kasha that the Ramban deals with and that all the Rishonim try to figure out. Okay, so there's a lot to figure out over there. So anyway, says the Gemara, Ella L'Shalom Merubah Mishal Chaver. So what do we need the Pasuk of Isalamta for? You need it to teach me the rule of L'Shalom Merubah Mishal Chaver, that when you have more valuable things to do, that you don't have to waste your time returning this guy's Aveda. So, frankly, the Gemara, you don't need Salamta for that. We know that from Rabbi Yudom Rav. Dom Rabbi Yudom Rav. Efes ki lo yiyeh b'cha evyon shalcha kodem l'shal kal adam. And we darshan from that pasuk that yours comes before anybody else's. You have to worry about your own stuff before anybody else's stuff. So therefore, if your work is more valuable, you don't have to worry about Hashavas Aveda. So what do we need v'salamta for? El zakin v'nil fikfodo. We need v'salamta to teach me that we don't have to sacrifice your own kavod abrios in order to do the mitzvah sasei of Hashavas Aveda. Frak Tosos, there's a whole sugi Maseches Brachos that learns from Vela Achoso that Kavod Abrios is Docha Mila, Kavod Abrios is Docha Shechitas Korban Pesach, Kavod Abrios is Docha every Asay in the Torah. Right? Kavod Abrios, the Gemara says in Brachos, is Docha Los Asay Shabbatorah, the Los Asay of Los Asar, it's Docha Yisum Drabanan, and it's Docha Mitzvah Sasei. So of course Kavod Abrios is Docha. Why do I need a special limud that Kavod Abrios is Docha, the Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda? So he says that there's different levels of Kavod Abrios, meaning, first of all, had I only had Hashavas Aveda, I would not have known that Kavod Abrios is Docha, the Mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah also. That I wouldn't have known, because Meis Mitzvah is a very big bizayon. And had I only had it by over there, by Meis Mitzvah, I would say that's because it's such a... That Kavod Abrios is Docha over there, I would say because that's a major pagam to his Kavod, in terms of the hit it takes on his Kavod. Meaning, had I only had the Sugya and Brachos, let's say where it's Klayim, where it's Shatness. So we say the Kavod Abrios is Docha, the Yisra of Shatness, as long as it's B'Shevi Altaseh. So I would say that's because you're dealing with Shatness, which you're dealing with an issue of Kavod Abrios where the other option is walking around naked, which is a major pagam to his kavod. But is it really such a big deal if the zakin picks up something that's a little beneath his dignity? So I can't learn from one sugya to the other. But anyway, so that's why I need Visalamta to teach me that a zakin venil fikvodo doesn't have to do Hashava Saveda. So Amar Rabbi Hikisha Chayevo, but as soon as you make your first move toward doing the Hashava Saveda, you become chayev in the mitzvah. Then we say a maskul b'mitzvah amin lo gemar. Once you start doing it, you can't say, this is really beneath me, I can't finish off the mitzvah. No, once you start, you got to finish. Abai was sitting by Rabbah, and he saw some goats that were standing around there that were obviously lost. Shakal kalav shadabu. He took a clod of earth and he threw it at them. So Rabbah said, okay, you made the first move. Now you got to go finish up the mitzvah, do Hashavas Aveda. What if it's a type of Aveda? It's not beneath your dignity to walk around with in the field, but in the city where people will see you, it is beneath your dignity. Do we say you have to do Hashavas Aveda? Do we say that unless you're able to do the Hashava mitchilu v'ad sof without sacrificing your dignity, then you're going to be pater? Right now, where are the animals? They're in a field. Right now, are you embarrassed to start the mitzvah? No, you're not embarrassed to start the mitzvah. So v'kivin d'chayv le'besadeh, chayv le'be'ir. Start the mitzvah. You're going to end up in the city in a few minutes from now? Yeah, but by then it's too late. By then you're already chayv because you've already started the mitzvah. Why are you already chayv then? Because by that time you've already become a shomer. Once you start taking care of the Aveda, now you have a din of a Shomer, whether it be a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sacher, that's yesterday's Sugya, but you already have a din of a Shomer. There's no din that a Shomer that's Ein Lefi Kvodo can stop doing a Shmira. Once you already took upon yourself to do the Shmira, you have to continue. So the Chi of Ischal right now, you don't have to Cheshbin, well, soon I'm going to be in the ear, it's going to be embarrassing. No, right now it's not embarrassing, you have a Chi of Hashava. You start, you become a Shomer, once you become a Shomer, you can't beg out of it anymore, you can't fetch out of the mitzvah anymore. Just parenthetically, I was just reading the Kol Kisvei Maritz Chayis last night, and interestingly... just a good Marim Makom, in Chelek Beis of the Kol Sifrei Maritz Chayis, he has Shalos HaTshuvas, and he has two tshuvas about the Shomer Aveda being Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, and all the kashas that we dealt with yesterday that we mentioned. Maritz Chayis has some problems with it, but he deals with it extensively in his tshuvas. But anyway, moving along. Amar Rava, Kol Shebishalom Machzir, Vishal Chavero Nami Machzir. Anything that you would return if it were yours, you have to return if it's your friend's also. Vikol Shebishalom Parik V'Toyim, Vishal Chavero Nami Parik V'Toyim. Anytime you would do priko te'ina on your own animal, even if it's embarrassing types of items for you to be schlepping around, still you have to do it on your friend's animal as well. Now, what's Rava adding? Didn't the Mishnah already teach me that Zakin Vinil Fik Fodo is Pater, but it sounds like if it is Lufik Fodo, you're absolutely Chayiv. So what Rav is teaching me is the Geder of Zakin Vinil Fik Fodo. Meaning, I can't look at an object and say, that's beneath me. I have to look at it and say, would I do it if it were my own? Meaning, if it were Stam, something that was part of, wasn't mine, didn't have any attachment to it, but I had an opportunity to get it, so maybe I wouldn't pick it up. But what if it were mine, where I'm already attached to it? Would I pick it up and take it? So that's how I have to measure it. That's Rava's Chiddush, and that's what we pass on the halacha. That's how I have to measure it. Would I do it for myself if it were my own? That's what one of the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat by Lo Samer Al Dam Re'echa says that since one of the reasons why there's a chiyuv to save a life is because Hashavas Aveda Degufo, the person's going to lose his body, you have to do Hashavas Aveda on the person's self. So one of the Nosei Kelim says, so Zaki Neveinu Fik Vodo, if let's say the person's drowning and it's not covetic for me to get my frock wet, you know, by going and saving the person that's drowning in the water. So maybe I'm not chayv in Hashavas Aveda. Maybe it's subject to the same limitations. But that's ridiculous. Why? Because if you were drowning, would you get your frock wet in order to save your own life? Of course you would. So whatever, that's the gedda. That's how we always look at Zaken Vim Fikvoda. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi have a kasel b'orcha pagabei ahu gaver. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was walking on the road and he ran into a certain guy havadari paskla da'ofi, and the guy was carrying something. And the guy put down his bundle and to rest, some wood chips or whatever. Amalei dalili. The guy said, can you do me a favor and help me schlep it? Amalei kamash, help me schlep it on my back, put it back on me. Amalei kamash shoven. So he said, well, how much is it worth? Amalei palga dezuza. Well, it's worth a half a zuz. So yavalei palga dezuza va'afkara. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi gave him a half a zuz and was mafkir it, because it was zeinu l'fik vodov to help the guy schlep it, but he didn't want to not help, so he just paid him for it and said, okay, now it's mine. You have your money's worth. Okay, and then he was mafkir, he didn't want it. Hada Zachabu, the guy then was zocha in it. It's hefker. So the guy himself, who was originally carrying it, when it was kona it, Hada Yavle Palgud Zuz Vafkra, he gave him another half of Zuz, and again he was mafkir it. He saw the guy wanted to be zoch in it again. So he says, okay, I'm mafkir to everybody except for you. You're not allowed to take it. So can you really do that? Isn't part of the definition of hefker that it has to be hefker for everybody? No, really, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was mafkir to everybody. He was just, trying to fool the guy so that the guy wouldn't take it again. For Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Zakim Venel Fik Vodo Ava. Why is Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi worried? Isn't he Zakim Venel Fik Vodo anyway? Sansa Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Lufnim Mishur Sadin Huda Avad. He was trying to go, Lufnim Mishur Sadin. Titan Rabbi Yossi, Vodat Lehem, Zebes Chayehem, Es Haderech, Zug Mils Chasadim, Yelchu, Zebikur Cholim, Ba, Zug Kvura, Ves Hamasa, Zadin, Asher Yasun, Zulifnim Mishur Sadin. So we see from the pasuk that there's a chiyuv to go sometimes, Lufnim Mishur Sadin. We had a Tosis that discussed three different levels of Lufnim Mishur Sadin, and in Mir Hashem tomorrow we will expound on that drasha from the pasuk and why it's not an overlapping drasha.